You're listening to Awaken the Healing, Reclaim Your Life, the podcast that's raising consciousness one listener at a time. We'll empower you through the shared knowledge of how to physically, mentally, and spiritually change your life and understand that we as humans have a much deeper purpose. Please welcome your host and self-empowerment expert, Trinaise.
Welcome to Awaken the Healing, Reclaim Your Life. This is episode 67, The Energetic Connection of All Life. Before we begin our discussion about cells, we need to remind ourselves of the basic truth of everything. In every discussion, we must remember that we are vibrational beings in a vibrational universe and that everything is made up of energy. And the most important of all is that everything physical is the manifestation of mind, or what we call thought. Thoughts create everything. And when we look at the physical world, we must remember that everything has consciousness, even inanimate objects. It is critical that we be reminded of this before we begin our discussion about cells, because the deeper we look into the physical, the less physical things become. Now, what are cells really? We can think of them as units of consciousness that make up a collective consciousness that we call our body. Or we can think of them as tissues, organs, ears, eyes, and so on. And in this way, we never really consider what makes us who we are on the physical level. When you learn about human biology in school, they never really teach you about consciousness on a cellular level. You're not taught to think about the cells of your body as individual forms of life or consciousness. Cells are made out to be something that are not living, not thinking, but just performing a task. With all our technology and advancement in science, we still don't know everything there is to know about cells. And that's just incredible to me because I think we know more about outer space sometimes than we know about our own bodies. This is definitely true where consciousness is concerned. Many in mainstream science do not want to acknowledge that cells possess their own consciousness. That's a taboo to think about cells as being human-like. But we, as humans, are made up of cells. And so, they must be human-like in some way in order for us to be who we are. Because you are whatever you're made up of. Isn't that true? We are very fortunate today to have what I call rebel scientists among us, because they're bringing us knowledge that would have been withheld at any other time. They're not following the status quo, if you will, and they risk their academic careers and professions, as well as their lives in many cases, to bring us this information. They are refusing to ignore the truths that are staring them smack in the face from their own research. These scientists are going against the grain and fighting against the dogma that has held us back for centuries. They are embracing a new truth based on the facts of their research and others. It is time for us to stop looking at ourselves as some type of machine or mechanical device that functions and performs duties for chemical reasons. We must begin to acknowledge the fact that our cells are living and conscious. They are communicating and performing very sophisticated functions from intelligence, not just from chemical stimuli. They have developed into communities, and we call those communities our bodies. In the 1960s, Dr. James Lovelock, a British scientist, proposed that we as humans are the living cells that make up the body of the being that is called Gaia, better known to us as planet Earth. The Gaia theory is quite interesting and worthy of further study. If you desire to know more, take some time and look into it. Dr. Lovelock's theory definitely helps us to live more in harmony with our planet and the ecosystem instead of against it. I wanted to bring the Gaia theory to your attention because it speaks of us as the cells in the body of the larger entity that we know as the earth. For some, this idea will sound outrageous, and if anyone feels that way, then I would suggest taking a closer look at the Gaia theory for yourself. Dr. Lovelock makes some pretty powerful arguments that are hard to refute. I think it all makes more sense in this way because it explains why the earth is self-regulating in global temperature, ocean salinity, atmospheric content, and other factors that continue to maintain the conditions on the earth for life to thrive. And this regulating has been going on for billions of years, while in the face of many changes in our solar system. The question is, how do we affect the life form that we are a part of? Do our thoughts and actions play a larger role in creating a healthy planet? Most of us already know the answer to that. So now let's look a little deeper. Let's look at this from the perspective of everything being the product of energy taking form. Energy would intertwine us. It would be difficult to know where one of us begins and the other ends, because in truth, the separation doesn't exist. If one of us gets sick, it has to affect the collective on an energetic level. This has been proposed by many, but it's hard to come up with a solid way to test this hypothesis because we are now talking about an energetic connection that we hold with one another. Our technology is not advanced enough to prove this one yet, but soon we'll be there. The positive thing is the opposite also has to be true. If one of us learns how to maintain our health and raise our vibration, it will eventually help the collective to become stronger. So how can we know that this is true? We can now look at the cells of our bodies to see if this is true within them. We're going to talk about communication between cells, but before we go deeper into that, let's look at the cell on the physical level. When a collection of cells in your body gets sick, there can be many factors at play, but the most important one is the environment that the cells are in. In order to have a healthy cell, you must have a healthy environment. We've discussed the optimal environment for cells as having an alkalinity level of 7.36 or higher. We borrowed this knowledge from Dr. Warburg, the Nobel Prize winner of 1931. He proved that cancer cannot grow or exist in a body that maintains a pH level of 7.36 or higher. This is an alkaline state, a high voltage state, and is characterized by higher levels of oxygen being present in the cells. We discussed this in more detail in episode 35. So for now, we're just looking at the cells on a physical basis. We know what kind of environment they need to be healthy, but that does not address them as consciousness or energetic forms of life. I want to bridge the microcosm and the macrocosm, because they are mirrors of one another. If we study ourselves, this will help us to better understand how we communicate and relate to one another on an energetic level. Now, let's look at a phenomena that takes place within the cells of our bodies. It's common knowledge that when a cell discovers how to fight off a germ, virus, or bacteria, then it passes that knowledge on to its progeny or offspring. But it also passes it on to other cells as well. Now, that wouldn't be such a big deal if it was just passed on to the cells within the same body. But here lies the phenomena. Let's start with the cell that has been removed from the body. This cell will mirror all the changes that take place within the other cells that are still in the collective. How is that? Not only does this cell mirror those changes, as if it was still connected to the body, but it will react to any emotional states of the body it came from. So if you remove a few cells from the cheek of anyone and then fly those cells clear across the ocean, they will change and react to the person they came from, no matter how far away they are. This has been tested many times and in many different ways. The question is, how is that cell still in communication with the other cells. This is the phenomena. It completely rules out the idea of chemical communication between cells because this cell is no longer connected to the body physically in any way. There is no chemical for it to react to. So something else is clearly going on here. It's clear that cells communicate with one another. It's just not clear how. And it doesn't stop here. It has been shown that when one human finds a way to fight off some bug, then clear around the world, other humans start being encoded with that very same information that will help them fight it. This also happens within our environment. It has been discovered that living organisms share information within a species and across species. Even genes are being shared between them. Recent advances in genome science has shown that there is an active cooperation among species. Not only are genes being passed on to the offspring of individual organisms through the act of reproduction, but scientists have discovered that genes are being shared between different species. The sharing of genetic information is taking place on an energetic level. Now that they can prove that this sharing of genetic information is taking place among different species, it is clear that we are not separate and there is no wall between us. Daniel Drill, the manager of the Department of Energy's Microbial Genome Program in 2001, told Science Magazine that, quote unquote, we can no longer comfortably say what is a species anymore, unquote. That's deep. So now let's talk about what genes are. Genes are said to be the physical memories of an organism's learned experiences. And now we know that your human genes are talking to other human genes. And that's how they knew how to fight off that bug from clear around the world. But not only are your genes talking to other humans, but also all life forms that are around you and vice versa. This is where it gets a little scary because of genetically modified plants. Studies have already shown how humans are negatively affected when they consume genetically modified foods. It literally has a negative effect on the beneficial bacteria of the intestine. And the long-term side effects are not completely known. Add that to the information that we now have about genes being shared within the environment, and we could have a real scourge on our hands. We have already seen what they are calling superweeds that are forming around all crops of GMO foods. These genetically modified plants have already changed the plant life that surrounds them. And where will it end? My goal in bringing up this subject was not to stress the dangers of GMOs, but it was a natural result of our discussion. We must realize that we are all connected on an energetic level and that there is no separation between us. And that not only includes us as humans, but all life on this planet. We have to stand up for what's right and not allow ourselves to be sold out for the almighty dollar. Our human lives and all life on this planet is being threatened right now by GMOs. And when one of us is in danger, we're all in danger. Our cells had to learn how to evolve, and they learned how to evolve from a single cell organism to become multicellular organisms in order to survive. They learned that they are stronger in communities and by working together. We could learn a lot from those cells, and we must if we're going to survive. We must come together as communities and stand up for what's right and good for our planet. We are stronger as a collective, working together for a cause. It's time to get our individual lives together in order for us to help the collective be stronger. If we are all cells in the body of Gaia, then we need to act like the smart cells and work together for the cause of us all. Stop looking at people and finding differences. Start seeing that they are expressions of the oneness that is you. When one of us wakes up, we inspire the rest of ourselves to wake up. You are an integral part of the awakening, and you must know that one person can change the course of the world, but you must choose to awaken and to begin to raise your vibration for the benefit of us all. I want to thank you again for taking the time to listen. Please share this episode with someone you know it will resonate with. Until our next show, be love, peace, and good health.
We appreciate you taking the time to join us for this episode of Awaken the Healing, Reclaim Your Life. Once you've subscribed to the podcast, be sure to visit us at awakenthehealing.com for more ways to maximize your potential for greatness. We look forward to helping you understand your purpose next time on Awaken the Healing, Reclaim Your Life.
You can do whatever you want, just believe in it, believe in it.